The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Good morning, Shasta County. Ted Leidy here for Carl Bott on Free Fire Radio. Hope you guys are having a great, great morning. A lot of news to talk about today. I have a guest in, Katrina from Haven Humane, and her little partner, Tato, which we're going to be talking about here in just a minute. We're going to talk about Afghanistan and the recall for the governor. We're going to talk about leaders this morning, community leaders. I want open lines this morning, 605-4567. I'd like you to give me a call and give someone some love on the air, somebody who picks your kids up and takes them to school, or somebody who has a medical professional that's worked on you, or a politician, or somebody that you love and want to give them some public love this morning. That is leading, mentoring, and making our community better. So much bad news on TV today, and can't talk about it. It'll tear me up. But we will start this morning with Katrina. Katrina, welcome.
Thank you.
And you have Tato.
Yes, I do. Tato is a 10-year-old Pomeranian mix. He's very cute. He's just like a tan color, kind of that sandy color that a lot of Pomeranians are. He's a really good boy. He's definitely made for a family who has a pretty laid-back lifestyle because he is 10 years old. So he's not really a dog you'd want to take out on the trails or anything. Plus, he's really tiny.
He is tiny, but although he looks like a good eater.
Yeah. Tato's a pretty special guy. He came to us with a pretty big host of health problems, but thanks to our Misty Lee Fund, we were able to put a lot of work into him and help him start getting on the path to being a lot healthier, which is really cool.
Yeah, he looks pretty healthy right now. He's real laid back.
He is. He's a super laid back guy. One funny thing with him, though, he's pretty youthful in how he plays. He really loves tossing a ball.
Oh, boy.
He loves it. He loves chasing the ball.
Yeah. Hey, but he's so small, though. You must have a pretty small ball.
Yeah.
I mean, he's not getting his mouth around a football or even a good-sized rubber ball. He's got to have a pretty small one.
Yeah, more cat-sized type balls. Yeah, he's tried to chase tennis balls. He loves tennis balls, but he can barely fit them in his mouth. But he will try his darndest.
I love it. How long have you had Tato?
We've had him about 26 days.
All right, perfect.
Yeah.
And I would imagine that that age and type, not necessarily type, but definitely that age of dog, that's a hard adoption normally, right? I mean, more difficult. I mean, I'm sure puppies and kittens go quick.
Puppies and kittens definitely go quickly, faster than our senior animals do. So he definitely is looking for a really special family who's willing to take him in. And thanks to our PALS fund, actually, his adoption fee is reduced to $37. So if you want to adopt him, you can actually come on down to Haven today and check him out, or you can give us a call at 241-1653.
Perfect. Very, very nice. Now, he looks like you said, an animal that would have to go to a special home. Someone who wants companionship with a senior dog, or with a mature dog, I would say. Very well behaved, though. Very well behaved. Very friendly. Cute. Cute as heck.
He's very cute, and he does get along with other animals and with pretty much everyone. We haven't noticed any, behavioral issues in that way. So I think he would fit in with almost any family who wants a laid-back little guy.
Now, let me switch subjects a little quickly, and let's talk about you for a second. So your role with Haven is what exactly do you do normally?
I work in adoptions.
Okay, cool.
So me and, our team that work up there, we deal with helping match people up to the animal that's going to suit them best and kind of what they're looking for.
That's outstanding. And so when we got our dog, Carl, Claire, back in 2007, it was interesting to me when we did went through the adoption process how they matched, how they had to match us. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And also the tests that you give him to make sure that that he socialized for a home and all that. It was amazing to me. I sat and watched it and realized exactly what was going on. All the little tiny stressors you put them under, not too much, but, you know, to feel, to kind of see how they're going to act under kind of pressure with kids or cats or other dogs or whatever, which was very interesting to me. Now, Tato's pick is on the chat room and Casey and our Facebook page in case somebody wants to adopt him. So I appreciate what you do. It's very important. We lost our dog in November and just about wiped us out. You know,
yeah.
I mean, we got him from Haven, and you know, it's a funny story because we went to get a dog for our kids and for the family, and so we went down to Haven and looked at dogs, and we looked at this little Shiba Inu yellow lab cross, and I liked him. He's the right size, you know, 45, 50 pounds, something like that. But my wife wasn't all the way into it, and so we left, and, you know, the kids were all broken up and all that, which I get. And about 2 weeks later, I'm at work, and she calls me, and she says, "Hey, remember that little golden dog that was here?" I said, "Yeah." She goes, "He's still here." Come to find out, he'd been adopted and returned.
Oh.
Yeah. And so, you know, we thought, man, he's been there. It might have been longer, 2 weeks. It might have been a month. I can't remember. And so I said, man, you know, I don't know how the system works, but we need to get that dog. We need to bust that dog out of there. We need to go bust him out. So we went down there, and they did all the tests with him and hung out with him. And let me tell you, that was the best dog we ever had.
Oh, I mean, I love that.
Oh, yeah. But it tore us up so bad when we lost him that we're just now starting to think about getting another, you know, another pet, another dog, because, I mean, we loved him. I mean, he was fantastic. He grew up with our kids, slept with our kids, you know, and just got older and older and older. You know how that works.
Yeah.
He was 13 or 14, I think. And so a big shout out to Carl. They had him named Badger at Haven. And, he just didn't act like a badger. He was so mellow and cool. He had like a person name. So I named him Carl.
I like it.
Which, of course, Carl loves, you know. But I named him Carl. And so we'll probably be coming down and seeing you here directly and talking about, you know, getting another fur baby for our house. So it's very important what you do. And I'd like to say good morning and thank you for your leadership in our community this morning. Being on the adoption team has to be tough at times. And going around with your buddies there and talking to us and all that. So I really, really appreciate you. And of course, we donate to Haven every year. All your golf tournaments and all that kind of stuff is fantastic. I was just wondering if you ever did that kind of stuff also. How many people are on the adoption team?
Our adoption staff, I'd say, is about like 5 people. But Haven has a lot of departments, and we all do kind of work together. With just kind of, you know, keeping up on everything.
Very cool. You know Janet Tedder?
Yeah.
Yeah, she's one of my best friend's wife.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, she's cool. They're a cool couple, man. I'm gonna say good morning to Kevin Tedder, my buddy, the bus driver for Shasta School District right now. He's got 57 kids on his bus right now with masks on, kindergartners who don't know where they live. And, you know, kids digging on each other's masks in the bus and changing them out, which of course is not COVID kosher, you know, you know, all the stuff that he's got going on. So he's my first community leader, a volunteer with me with the National Wild Turkey Federation, and a hunting heritage specialist, getting kids into getting outside. So good morning, Kevin. I know you're probably not listening, but I thank you for your community service this morning. And husband of Janet Tedder, your coworker there at Haven. So, you're heading out now. Now, do these appearances by these animals, they really help, right? I mean, these animals mostly get adopted after they get out, right?
On the radio. It definitely does help, getting these animals out and introducing them to the community really helps, I think, match them up, because a lot of times, you know, we might have an animal that someone might be looking for that would really fit with them that they wouldn't have noticed otherwise, you know? So it does really help a lot.
Just seeing Tato this morning makes me think about getting down there to Haven and start introducing myself to some of your lovely dogs down there. So it worked for me.
Well, we look forward to seeing you.
Yeah, it worked for me. Okay, well, we're going to take a break. I want you to know that this portion of the show is brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Shasta Regional Medical Center is one of the nation's top 50 cardiovascular hospitals, recognized by Watson Health, and is fully accredited chest pain center. Shasta Regional Medical Center, healing starts here. Shasta Regional Medical Center is certified by the Joint Commission as an advanced primary stroke facility. Our team of experts provide preventative care and screening of high-risk patients, working together to provide high-quality care throughout hospitalization. To discharge Shasta Regional Medical Center, healing starts here. We'll be right back.
Come join Recall Shasta for a great night, fundraising dinner, speakers, live auction, and raffle, August 28th at the Anderson VFW, 3210 West Center Street. For ticket information, call 530-691-1707. This is an opportunity for us to come together as a community and make our voices heard. Come join Recall Shasta for our third fundraising dinner, paid for by the Shasta General Purpose Committee /Shasta Recall.
Hi, my name's Nick Gardner. I have a show here on KCNR, Sunday mornings from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. every other Sunday. The name of my show is Poke the Hornet's Nest.
There's no mountain I can't climb. There's no tower too high. No plane that I can't learn how to fly. What do I gotta do to get through to you to show you there ain't nothing I can't take this chainsaw to?
I'm going to concentrate on local politics mainly, but we'll talk about national politics also. You'll get the view of the common citizen here in Redding, California. And remember, today is the first day of the rest of your life. Maybe it's a good time for a new perspective about what's been going on in our town, in our state, in our nation. I hope you tune in and hear the other side of the news.
Everybody, listen up! 100 years ago, Simpson University began with a promise to be the gateway to world service. 30 years ago, we moved to Redding with a promise to serve the North State, graduating professionals who live and serve our growing community. Today, Simpson University continues to provide a Christ-centered education, graduating students with mature and infectious faith, critical competence, and a ready spirit to thrive as servant leaders around the world and at our backyard. Learn more about Redding's hometown university at simpsonu.edu.
Premier, your friendly oil change. Premier in all we do.
Summer is upon us, and we all know what that means. Lots of summertime fun. Spend at the lake, by the pool, or off on adventures to your favorite waterfall or floating down the river. Servicing your vehicle is last on the list, but we all know it has to be done. Let Premier Oil Change save you time and money with their easy drive-in service. No appointment needed. Wait in the comfort of your own car, enjoy a cold beverage, and before you know it, you'll be off to your next summertime adventure, knowing that your car is summertime ready. Earn reward points for every dollar you spend, which can be redeemed for an oil change, additional services, and other great rewards. With free fluid top-offs, free check engine light inspections, free Wi-Fi, and a free car wash, you are sure to leave refreshed. Stop into a Premier Oil Change near you today. Visit them in Palisadro in the Holiday Shopping Center or in Redding on Lake Boulevard near Waterworks Park. And don't forget Anderson across from Round Table Pizza. Premier Oil Change, home of the friendly oil change.
Every diamond has a story to tell. Once a year, Goldmark Jewelers displays a collection of diamond rings, earrings, pendants, and bracelets with their own favorite stories. For 30 years, the Goldmark Jewelers annual estate sale has brought you the best collection of vintage and antique jewelry in Northern California. Each of these pieces have rich history and incredible stories. Diamonds and gemstones hand-cut by master craftsmen were set in masterpieces cherished for hundreds of years. Now it's your turn to write the next chapter in your diamond story. The Goldmark annual estate sale coming September 1st. Goldmark Jewelers, Hilltop Drive, where Redding buys diamonds.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio. Ted Lighty here, co-hosting for Carl Bott and Linda. They're out on assignment this morning, probably flying around a black helicopter, giving us play-by-plays from Kabul or someplace very interesting. We'll talk about that in a minute. But before we get started, let's get some weather from Jared.
Good morning. Let me turn the fan off here so it's not noisy. Today we're going to see a high of 101, a low of 71. Actually, it's currently 77 degrees right now. I'm kind of passed over that. We're going to have a red flag warning through Saturday morning. Tomorrow, a high of 104, a low of 69. On Sunday, a high of 103, a low of 68. Monday, a high of 99, a low of 62. Tuesday, a high around 94, a low of 62. And on Wednesday, a high of 93 and a low of 61.
Is it just me, or is it getting cooler, and we're looking forward to fall?
I'm loving it.
Pumpkin spice latte is back.
I'm not going to drink that, but I'll just, yeah, I'm excited for the lower temperatures.
I have to choose my calories wisely nowadays, so probably will substitute a nice bourbon for the pumpkin spice latte, if I can get one somewhere over there. This portion of the show is brought to you by Cornerstone Community Bank. Cornerstone Community Bank is a community-oriented, dedicated team, professional, committed to providing the highest level of personal service. Cornerstone has three branches serving Shasta and Tehama counties at 500 Riverside Way in Red Bluff, 1845 California Street, and 150 East Cypress Avenue. Cornerstone Community Bank invites you to experience how we are moving local dreams forward. All right. First, good morning goes to my good friends at House of Realty, where, as you know, I'm a realtor. I'd like to say good morning to Bruce, Rob, Joyce, Cameron, Linda, Jackie, Diantha, Jacob, Athena, Steve, Seth, Jeannie, and Heather. All right. Let's talk for a moment about Afghanistan. We're going to get it out of our system, and then we're going to move forward. Okay. I want to make this show as positive as I can possibly get it. I'd like to get open lines this morning. Call in with your favorite community leader. I'm going to be hitting them all morning long. I already talked about my good buddy Kevin Tedder and what he does for our community. So we all know the debacle that's going on in Afghanistan. The failure of leadership is so layered that you can't even talk about the problems, because you talk about one problem, you really should be talking about a dozen problems that they had. When leaders blame others, it's the hallmark of poor leadership. And so people are dying, and we knew it was probably going to happen. Most of us who understand anything about strategy understands that, you know, you've got to go into those situations, especially in Southwest Asia, with an iron hand, because that's all that those countries understand. Anything that looks like weakness will be exploited. And oh, by the way, they're exploiting us. When I hear things like the Taliban is helping us, which I heard from the CENTCOM commander yesterday in a briefing, I got news for you. The Taliban doesn't help you. They're not interested in helping you, okay? They're interested in you getting out of their country so that they can continue to rule their country how they want to rule it. And that's fine with me, because I don't live there, and it's really none of my business. What is our business as Americans and taxpayers is the way that we are withdrawing. Now, you might call in and tell me, hey, Ted, you don't know what you're talking about, because that's the way it had to happen. But I think that that's probably a very slim minority. My three-year-old granddaughter, if she forgets her water wings at her grandma's house, she turns around and makes a plan to go get them. She does not get in the car and say, well, we're just going to charge the American taxpayer for a new set of water wings, or 150 aircraft, or 980,000 light infantry weapons, or the thousands of vehicles that we left there, or now the American blood, more American blood that we left on that sandy, desolate place. So, Jared, I would like to have 1 minute of radio silence, which is exactly what's going on our service members' radio who were killed the day before yesterday in Afghanistan. And I'd like to follow it up with the Star Spangled Banner. If you care to stand with me and salute, that would be fantastic. Jared. That was fantastic, my friend. Give him a thought today, huh? Give him a thought to those folks over there who are making less money than most people in America, are spending more time on their feet than most people in America. Those service men and women that work for really pennies on the hour, if you think about it. They're there 24 hours a day, sometimes for a year at a time. Give them some thought today. They truly are the taxpayers' best value, truly are. And condolences to all the families who've lost lives in the past few days. All right, Nick.
Hey, good morning, Ted. Hey, this is a long question, so listen carefully. After we have left the Taliban, $80 to $85 billion worth of war equipment, after we leave them enough air power that they're more powerful than 85% of the countries in the world, after we have left them control of the whole country, how would you, Ted Leidy, how would you go back and control this situation?
I wouldn't go back. If I could get my, I would have planned to get our people and our allies out, and then they could do what they need to do.
That's done. I'm talking about going forward now. How would you go forward now? Are you going to walk away and leave all those people over there?
Oh, no. Oh, you want to know the armchair quarterback story for me?
That's exactly what I want to hear.
We can't fix it yet. We can't fix what's already happened. It would have been much easier had you started about 6 months ago. But, of course, you know, they don't plan for anything at that level. So here's what I would do. I would go to the Taliban and I would say, I want a 10-mile perimeter around that airport until I get all my people out. And if you don't, I'm gonna ship in about 50 or 60,000 more troops and push you back. By the way, we're gonna do it mostly with air power because I'm not gonna shed another drop of blood that I can. I'm not gonna shed another drop of blood in that country if I don't have to. All I want is my people out.
Boy, are they gonna kick you out of the White House quick. You're gonna be bombing our own people and all of our, other countries that backed us up that followed us in there in 2011 or whenever, you know, I'm pulling a Biden here. You know, you've got Germany, you've got France, you've got these other countries that followed us in, and we didn't even have the nerve to stand up and extend the evacuation time to help them get their people out either.
Oh,
I would demand that they give us everybody out that wants out right now, or I'd go turn the whole damn place into glass as soon as I could.
Well, my strategy was a tiny bit more ingestible to the American people than yours. I wouldn't bomb our own people. I mean, we have ways of figuring that out. But I would push them back from that airport. I wouldn't let them get anywhere near it. I would not let get one person with a weapon. I wouldn't let one person with a weapon get near that airport until we were done withdrawing. Look, the equipment's over. The equipment's done. They've got our equipment. We're never going to get that back. The American taxpayer will be paying for that equipment. Your kids, your grandkids, and their grandkids will be paying for that equipment for the rest of their lives. So it's gone. It's done. It's over. And really, we've set up another army because, you know, 980,000 light infantry weapons could arm a million-person army. That's a pretty good army, right? So that's over, but I would push them back away from that airport. I would demand it. And this going into the Taliban and negotiating with them and acting like they're our friends and they're helping us out and, you know, they're trying to provide some level of security, that is not true. In fact, I don't want Jared to have to beat me out, but I could go on and on about that. Having been there, you know, think about this, Nick. Think about this. Carl Bott, our friend, one of my best friends, maybe my best friend, was a contractor in Southwest Asia. That could have been him, okay? So it hits close to home when you start talking about that. They only understand one thing, and that's strength. And I understand.
How are we going to get our people out right now?
Well, we're just going to continue trying the way we're just going to continue evacuating the way we are. It's a debacle, I understand. It will end. It's a failure of leadership.
First, they're going to line them up and start slitting throats right in front of us.
Yeah, well, when that happens, I got to tell you, Biden's going to have to make some tough decisions, and he's liable to have to send some special operations units in there to like I said, they need a perimeter around that airport. They can't let them walk up to the gates of the airport like they've been doing. I mean, that's a fatal funnel, as we used to say in the service. So.
Well, let me ask you this. Do you see Obama's fingerprints all over this?
Oh, yeah.
Like I do?
Oh, yeah, of course. It was set up.
Have a great day, Ted. Thanks.
Yep, you too, Nick. Take care, buddy.
Come join Recall Shasta for a great night, fundraising dinner, speakers, live auction, and raffle, August 28th at the Anderson VFW, 3210 West Center Street. For ticket information, call 530-691-1707. This is an opportunity for us to come together as a community and make our voices heard. Come join Recall Shasta for our third fundraising dinner, paid for by the Shasta General Purpose Committee /Shasta Recall.
Join the Cult 45's Evening on the Green Summer Concert Series every Thursday night starting at 8 p.m. at Tiger Field. Through the end of August, enjoy live music with a different band each week. Find the lineup of performers online at ReddingColt45s.com. Tickets are only $5. Come enjoy food, beverages, and dancing at the Colt 45's Evening on the Green Summer Concert Series at Tiger Field at 1000 West Cypress Avenue. See you there!
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill we all have to pay? The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson State of Mind.
This is RC from Tobacco and Brew, bringing you this month's Cigar of the Humidor. Today's review is Michelef Grande Bold, a classic Maduro stick with a rich, dark, oily Ecuadorian broadleaf wrapper surrounding Nicaragua's best tobacco. Full-bodied and full flavor, your palate will delight with hints of dark chocolate, nuts, and cedar. Come down to the best cigar shop around, Tobacco and Brew, Redding, California.
North State Now is a magazine formatted show at 6 p.m. every Thursday night. The first Thursday is yours truly, Linda Bott, featuring what's going on in our town. The second Thursday is hosted by Michelle Slade, featuring heroes of the North State. The third Thursday is hosted by none other than James Masada and Rhonda Alvey from Enjoy the Magazine and Enjoy the Store. Our newest edition is the fourth Thursday of the month, Women of Vision. That's North State Now, Thursday at 6 p.m., also streaming on KCNR 1460.com.
For over 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300. A reputation for excellence since 1965.
Every diamond has a story to tell. Once a year, Goldmark Jewelers displays a collection of diamond rings, earrings, pendants, and bracelets with their own favorite stories. For 30 years, the Goldmark Jewelers annual estate sale has brought you the best collection of vintage and antique jewelry in Northern California. Each of these pieces have rich history and incredible stories. Diamonds and gemstones hand-cut by master craftsmen were set in masterpieces cherished for hundreds of years. Now it's your turn to write the next chapter in your diamond story. The Goldmark annual estate sale coming September 1st. Goldmark Jewelers, Hilltop Drive, where Redding buys diamonds.
Well, honey, I love too much. I need your love.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio. Ted Lighty in, hosting for Carl and Linda Bott this morning. We have a caller on the line, Don.
Good morning over there on Market Street. How are things doing?
Oh, man. It's a little bit smoky, but it's a little cooler this morning. I'm sitting here in very good company with Jared and Pat, and I'm happy to be on community radio this morning.
Okay. Well, I'm calling about the recalls, both the statewide and our local recalls. And I've got my ballot, as everybody probably has, and I marked it, and I took it down and put it through the machine. And I think the backside, which has the candidates, both Republican and Democrat, is a waste of time for people to even engage in because none of them are known or credible. And I suggest, you know, people just vote yes or no. But, of course, I'm a no recall, statewide and local, because why interrupt the government at this point in time when people can vote them out in the general election, when election time comes around? A vast waste of money statewide and locally, $400,000 to $600,000 to put this on the ballot, if, of course, the signatures prove to be valid. It's going to be very difficult for 5,000 signatures in each of the three districts to be gathered. And so I'm looking for it to be failed at the signature level, the petition level. So, quite frankly, it's a waste of time for Republicans to even consider thinking that one of their candidates are going to win. The top four all have major issues, as many as the Democrat does. So either don't vote or vote no, just to save some money.
It's going
to
be...
And then carry your ballot to the election department to save the county some money on mail.
Definitely carry your ballot. That is true.
Yep, yep.
I love that. I'll tell you what, Don... no matter which side of this issue you're on, it's an interesting civics lesson. I don't know if it's going to go, not going to go. I mean, I know how I'm voting. I agree with you about getting voting somebody out on the general election and saving some money. Unfortunately, saving money isn't something that governments do well. They're going to spend it on something else anyway. But, you know, regardless, your point is valid. I love the civics lesson. I love that you called in and kind of told everybody how you felt about it and how the system is going to work. You know, we have 46. Is it 46 candidates?
46,
yeah. yeah. And you look at some of these folks, and it's obvious. You know, I mean, I'm a huge fan of Joe Walsh, right, with the Eagles. But when Joe Walsh ran for president, that wasn't really, you know, a thing, but it was a thing because I remember it. A lot of these candidates are not serious, you know,
candidates.
Or serious leaders at all.
No, but, their egos are at stake.
yeah. But there are some people there that I think could probably do just as good a job as Newsom.
Let's put it this way. The legislature in Sacramento, the Senate and the Assembly are super majorities, and they would hold up any action a Republican governor from this election could ever think of doing. They would hold that person up for the remaining time. So, again, it's a waste, a vast waste, because a supermajority would not let them do anything. They would be a lame duck governor from day one.
Well, that could be.
Yep.
That could be.
That's the reality of politics in Sacramento.
And I certainly am not going to argue with that, except for this. If you want to see change, you got to start somewhere.
Oh, yeah. Sure.
You know, you must start somewhere. You can't just let... I mean, I think we would all agree that California has some real issues.
Yeah.
And those real issues come out of Sacramento. They're not local. I mean, they're not doing this locally. It comes out of Sacramento. And you know, homelessness and housing costs and just all the stuff that government really should have a hold on, they just don't.
Well,
so,
who we elect from our local... election cycles, and you know, we think we put someone in there to go to Sacramento to answer all what you just said, and often they just go there and they're lame duck legislators right from the beginning because they happen to be in the vast minority, as we have right now. Our senator and assembly person can't do anything basically because they're outvoted all the time.
I agree
all
that
the time that we send someone from Shasta County, Congressional District 1 and Senate and Assembly District 1, that will be able to work with the majority, not the minority. They're in the minority, and they get nowhere. They do nothing for us here in Redding and Shasta County and the North State.
Well, I think I think the effort is there. I think that the deck is stacked against them, obviously, with a supermajority. And the one thing about, you know, politicians, not necessarily Republicans, but definitely Democrats, is they get on one side and they stay there. They don't hop around and you know, try to get all bipartisan. It's 100% one way or they're out. So,
well, again, that's what politics is all about. It's
oh, yeah.
Ball.
Yeah, I
so
got
see
it.
See what happens after the redistricting towards the end of the year.
Yeah,
that's going to play into the whole picture of who we are able to elect this next
It's an election cycle. It's an interesting time, that for sure, with local and state politics. It's an interesting time, and I would recommend everybody get on the news cycle and start following this thing because, you know, there's a lot of twists and turns and cliffhangers and all kinds of stuff going on, and the civics lesson is great, and if somebody is not interested in politics at all, this might be a good time to get in because they're going to learn a lot in a little bit of time, even about the signature gathering.
Every day, whether people want it or not.
Yep, and they don't want to talk about it, but I'm a talker about it. I enjoy it. I like to watch it. Don, thanks for your call, buddy.
Thank you.
Have a great day.
Come join Recall Shasta for a great night, fundraising dinner, speakers, live auction, and raffle, August 28th at the Anderson VFW, 3210 West Center Street. For ticket information, call 530-691-1707. This is an opportunity for us to come together as a community and make our voices heard. Come join Recall Shasta for our third fundraising dinner. Paid for by the Shasta General Purpose Committee /Shasta Recall.
When people ask me for a recommendation for a heating or air conditioning company, I always say Alliance Heating and Air. Why? Well, they've been taking care of our HVAC system for 14 years. Professional, friendly, and willing to go to the extra step for their customers. I have found no problem too difficult or too minor for them to repair. I recommend Alliance Heating and Air with no reservations. You can reach them at 530-221-2642 or online at homecomfort.org. And they have 24/7 emergency assistance. Alliance Heating and Air.
You want to make a real difference for patients. You want to provide quality, compassionate care. Your work environment should feel like family. You appreciate flexibility.
One of the things I love about working at Shasta Regional is I feel valued as a staff member. They're like family.
If you're ready to work in an environment that supports you, come see the difference at Shasta Regional Medical Center. Join SRMC for an open house and job fair Tuesday, August 31st, 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. $15,000 sign-on bonuses are offered for all RNs hired. Meet their directors, talk to current staff, see and feel the difference in an environment that supports you so you can care for our community at the SRMC Job Fair Tuesday, August 31st, 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. For more information, visit www.ShastaRegional.com or message them on Facebook. Come experience Shasta Regional Medical Center, where passionate people provide quality care. Shasta Regional Medical Center, Job Fair, Tuesday, August 31st, 9 a.m. to 2 p.m.
Where do you go in Shasta County to get advice on the best type of firearm to meet your needs and how to safely carry and use it? The answer is to join the revolution at locally owned Bastiani Arms. Bastiani Arms believes in a better way to serve their customers and providing them with all the information needed to make the right decisions before and after the sale. They have a large selection of guns and ammunition and always special discounts for veterans. Self-protection is your right. Join the revolution at Bastiani Arms, 2539 Larkspur Lane in Reading, 222-8222.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
Every diamond has a story to tell. Once a year, Goldmark Jewelers displays a collection of diamond rings, earrings, pendants, and bracelets with their own favorite stories. For 30 years, the Goldmark Jewelers annual estate sale has brought you the best collection of vintage and antique jewelry in Northern California. Each of these pieces have rich history and incredible stories. Diamonds and gemstones hand-cut by master craftsmen were set in masterpieces cherished for hundreds of years. Now it's your turn to write the next chapter in your diamond story. The Goldmark annual estate sale coming September 1st. Goldmark Jewelers, Hilltop Drive, where Reading buys diamonds.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio. Ted Lighty here, in for Carl and Linda Bott, out on assignment today. Leadership Radio, community leaders. If you've got a community leader you want to give some love on the air today, 605-4567. Phone lines are open. Perry Cremins, you can give me a call back, and we can visit a little bit if you want to. I'm sorry that you got hung up there. Don and I got to visiting a little bit long. I'd like to say good morning this morning to our medical leadership, all medical professionals, ICU, doctors, nurses, staff, techs, security, everything you do at a hospital. As you know, we're in the middle of another surge. Hospital beds are running at about 90% throughout the state. Of course, that depends on the vaccination rates mostly, if you check the counties. Unfortunately, I think at the last I heard, 95% of all of our hospital beds were full of unvaccinated people. Not good or bad, just a decision we all make. Freedom is freedom. I don't want anybody mandating anything to me, and I don't want them mandating something to you. So that's just the way that works. Medical professionals, ICU nurses, for those of you who know me, you know I was hospitalized back in November. Mercy Medical Center for 4 days right before Thanksgiving. Great care. They took great care of me. And my heart will always go out to the fantastic medical professionals that are saving lives each and every day in our facilities. In fact, every time I see them, and I will remember them for the rest of my life, I will be buying them a beer or whatever they want to drink at the Snowflake Ball or whatever it is, wherever we see them, whenever we can get back together. So good morning to all medical professionals. This portion of the show is brought to you by Crackmaster. Crackmaster knows the ins and outs of proper windshield repair. He's been repairing windshields for years and is Bureau of Automotive Repair approved. Jeff at Crackmaster is truly from the old school. Each and every repair is a sign of his quality workmanship. Crackmaster, you will not be disappointed. 3208 South Market, call 241-8373. Let's talk for a minute about my guest. I'll be hosting again on Monday. My guest on Monday is Robert Balky. Good morning, Robert. Community leader in his own right, leader of United Shasta, one of the fantastic service organizations in town. All you have to do is call United Shasta or email them, and if you have a mission for them, such as a senior or a veteran or someone like that who cannot clean their yard or move or get rid of an old car or clean up a homeless camp or whatever, United Shasta does fantastic work. The volunteers for United Shasta, I think there are like 200 of them, are each one of them a community leader in their own right. And of course, you know, United Shasta isn't the only community organization that, we have here in Shasta County. We have dozens of community organizations. Catalyst Mentoring, who's having a golf tournament in September. I'm hoping to get Brianna to give me a call this morning, so she can talk about her golf tournament. They're having a golf tournament in September. And they're all about mentorship, and mentorship is an important part of leadership. But back to Robert. So Robert, his daughter was the victim of the attempted kidnapping on Friday night, and of course, some of you might have saw the very emotional interview on Channel 7. He is a public face. Many people know Robert. And so when he interviewed about that attempted kidnapping, I was touched. And so I called him right away and said, look, I've got Carl's show on Monday, and I'd like you to come in. I'd like you to co-host with me, and I'd like you to help me dissect what the problem is. Where are we here? I mean, you know, I don't want to say it's a failure of anything that things like that happen, but somewhere along the line, something went wrong where we've got a person living in Shingletown who was supposed to be a registered sex offender who didn't register. He was non-registered, and who goes into our streets and preys upon our children. All right. That's an issue. That's a real problem. And we have great professionals who are on this. I don't understand, and I don't want to sit here and speculate because I don't do that. Exactly how that system works, how the registration system works. if somebody wants to give us a call, 605-4567, I'd love to talk to you about it. Who's in charge of that registration, and what happens when a sex offender doesn't register? I don't know. I just don't know. I know that in the CCW world, I've gone down to the sheriff's office, and I have seen registrants come in. I don't know, arson and some other things like that. But again, that's just me looking at things through my eyeballs without having the intelligence to really speak on it. So, Robert said, and we had quite a lengthy conversation about it, and Robert said that he was going to work, on his community leadership. He's going to broaden his community leadership to try to take a look at that and see if maybe he could help with that system. I don't know if he can or can, or if he's going to face resistance from it or whatever. I don't know anybody that's ever tried to do it. If you have, again, let's have a conversation about it. I know that we have a brand new sheriff, Sheriff Johnson, fantastic guy. I've known him for a few years. I've seen him in social settings. I've never got to sit down with him. I will be sitting down with him soon. I am sure somebody has some insight into that. All right. Looks like Carl called in. Carl, how you doing this morning, buddy?
Hey, good morning, my friend.
How are you?
Hey, thanks for taking over while I'm on assignment.
Dude, it's my pleasure and honor.
I know
that.
Yeah, my brother. Hey, I know you've already talked about it, but I needed to call in about what happened in Afghanistan. I'm saddened, of course, but I'm also honored by the fact that we have men and women that put their lives on the line every day for our country.
Oh, man.
I lay this totally at Joe Biden's feet for the lack of planning for this mess we're in. I find it abhorrent that people are actually saying, oh, look, mission completed. No, mission's not completed. It's just started. And unfortunately, I don't think the suicide bombs are going to go away.
No.
Well, you know, so, but I'm just honored again that we have young men and women that put their lives on the line every day for our country.
It's incredible that the heroism and the commitment. I mean, you know, you were there.
Yeah.
I mean, you could have been in that group if you think about it. And I mean, that hits home for me.
Yeah.
So, you know, that, I mean, the best dollar the taxpayer spends, I don't care who, you can call and argue with me if you want to, is an American service member. I mean, they get their money's worth out of those men and women who are serving over there. I mean, if you look at the newsreel, if you look at the video out of that place, it's chaos. I mean, nobody knows what the heck is going on. The only people that are trying to manage their little tiny piece of the world are the service members themselves. I saw the CENTCOM commander come on. I don't know if you saw this briefing or not, but the CENTCOM commander came on and actually used the term help from the Taliban. That's what he said. Help. H-E-L-P. He said that. They're helping us. They're not helping us, people. We're in this by ourselves.
And the Biden administration gave a list of names.
Oh, yeah.
To the Taliban to help them find. You know, you talk about a target list. Oh, let's go round up with these people. And, you know, the whole thing was a monstrosity. And it didn't have to happen. That's the thing.
And, you know,
if there's a retrograde, you know, we gave up an air base that had much better facilities than the Kabul airport at Bagram. That was set up to take thousands of people, and they had a standoff distance where they could keep, you know, the crowds away.
Mm-hmm.
But no, they let that one go, too. It's just a travesty.
Well, you know,
in my opinion,
they had, you know, this administration had 7 months to prepare. And you know, you probably heard my analogy of my granddaughter who leaves her water wings at the pool at her grandma's house. She figures out that the stuff is there and makes a plan to go get them. Right? Anybody can do that.
Mm-hmm.
Joe Biden could have said, hey, look, here's the thing. We're going to have to do this in an orderly manner. Let's start today. Right? Let's start today. It's the middle of January. Let's start today because August 31st is going to come and it shouldn't surprise us. You know, and I know you would agree with this because I've talked to you about this. If everything that happens is a surprise to you as a leader, you need to go back to leadership school. because you should have seen that coming. You should have seen that coming.
And the excuse is, well, Trump made the, he's the one that made that, and I'm going by his decision. It's just ridiculous because Biden's gone and changed, you know, most of what Trump had put down anyway. So to say you couldn't do it is ridiculous, too. But the main thing is you're absolutely right. Hey, August 31st, are we ready to get these people out of there? And the State Department is saying, well, it's their own fault, you know, because they didn't come and get out. Oh, no. I mean, the other government official says, wait a minute, Biden was saying you had plenty of time. Plenty of time. Well, obviously, they didn't. Anyway, yeah, thanks a lot. Thanks a lot. I don't want to take your time, but I just needed to let you know how I felt.
Hey, man, you be safe out there, okay? I'll see you when you get back. Okay. Have fun.
You bet.
All right,
thanks,
buddy. Tell Linda I said hi. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio. Carl Bott, of course, our good friend and host of the show, feels just about like I do, and most other people also. The debacle in Afghanistan is layered failures. I mean, you know, and let's not forget this, people. While this is going on, while this is dominating the news cycle, you've got an open border on the southern end. COVID cases coming in left and right, and terrorists just flooding our southern border probably. Things have not changed there one bit. You've got our great Homeland Security and ICE personnel down there trying to manage that, which, of course, is another debacle. It's just not quite as big, not quite as large a debacle as what's going on in Afghanistan, but it's still a debacle. You've got plywood at $80 a sheet. You've got gas pushing $5. You've got things going on that would shock and amaze the average person right now. You know, we got a homeless issue. And by the way, housing costs are going up. I know, right? I'm in the business. I can tell you right now, I don't know if there's a ceiling to this thing. I do not know if there's a ceiling to it. We got people lying around the streets. Nobody can figure out how to solve that. So, you know, last gloom and doom statement from me, and then we're going to have our next guest in, truly a community leadership organization. And, again, 605-4567, if you want to give your favorite leader a call, or leader some love on the air, give me a call. I'd love to talk about leadership in our community. This session, Free Fire Radio, was brought to you by Estate Granite. Mike at Estate Granite has been custom altering homes in Shasta County and beyond since 2004. 16 years in the same location off Caterpillar Road. Mike was just over at my house the other day, got some great peaches off my peach tree in the back, and said they're fantastic. So, Mike, great community leader. I know you've got two sons, one in the Navy, one in the Army. The Army is a special operations aviator, so fantastic tradition of service, and of course you also. And good morning, Free Fire Radio. We'll be right back.
KCNR, Shasta, Reading.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Rich Thomason. As evacuation flights continue departing the Kabul airport, hard to say exactly how many Americans are left in Afghanistan, but we do know how many have managed to get out so far.
In the past 24 hours, more than 300 American citizens were evacuated from Afghanistan, bringing our updated total to approximately 5,100.
General Hank Taylor at the Pentagon with the update moments ago. Flights have resumed following yesterday's suicide bombings near the airport. It killed more than 100 people, 13 American service members among the victims. As inflation heats up, consumer spending cools down.
The Commerce Department reports consumer spending rose just 0.3% in July, markedly slower than in June when it grew by 1.1%. At the same time, the prices consumers paid were 4.2% higher than July of last year, the biggest rise in inflation since 1991. But incomes rose a solid 1.1% in July, reflecting in part the strong job gains seen last month. Overall, the report offers the clearest signal yet that the surge in the Delta variant of the coronavirus is having an impact on consumer spending, which is the driving force in the economy. Ben Thomas, Washington.
Coastal Louisiana, Alabama, and Mississippi all under hurricane and storm surge watches as Tropical Storm Ida continues to bulk up out in the Gulf of Mexico.
Somewhere within that area, we could see hurricane-force winds
as we get later into the weekend, especially by late Sunday. And then also storm surge. We're worried about a life-threatening storm surge that would be inundating areas that aren't normally underwater. And so if people stay in those areas, it could be very dangerous and could take their lives.
The National Hurricane Center's Robbie Berg. On Wall Street, stocks higher. The Dow up 247 points. NASDAQ ahead 150. And the S&P is up 35 points. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Pushing Lawson back, landing blows, Lawson returns, and oh, a big shot!
How do you mind if you think this family can pick him up every time you fall?
A struggling father must fight for what matters most.
Dylan Wright came in this morning. He wants to fight you.
With his faith against the ropes.
This is your opportunity to get back on your feet.
Witness this story of redemption.
You gotta know who it is you're fighting for. That's the fight, Bo.
I can't believe I'm saying it, that Bo Lawson can go 10 years without a competitive fight, and here he is going toe-to-toe with the world champion. No one expected this out of him.
A Father's Fight, now streaming on Salem Now. Look for Salem Now in the App Store or at salemnow.com.
Turkey's president says his government is in talks with the Taliban about helping to run the Kabul airport following the departure of international forces in less than a week.
President Erdogan says Turkish officials held talks with the Taliban for 3.5 hours, suggesting the group is open to Turkey continuing to run the airport, but crucially with the Taliban in charge of its security. The question of how Kabul Airport is run and secured is crucial for the country's future. The US has already said it must function for Afghanistan to have some semblance of a relationship with the world. Turkey is a member of NATO and has been part of the alliance's forces in the country. It has secured the airport for the last 6 years.
That's the BBC's Tom Bateman. Tropical storm Nora, expected to brush along past Mexico's Pacific coast as a hurricane over the weekend, ahead of a possible strike on resorts at the tip of the Baja California Peninsula. Breaking news and analysis, townhall.com. Several individuals arrested on charges of plotting to deceive banks into processing more than $150 million in credit and debit card payments on behalf of merchants involved in prohibited and high-risk businesses.
The three were executives at Ally Wallet, a payment processing company headquartered in Los Angeles that served merchants doing business over the Internet. Investigators said the defendants allegedly created shell companies. They designed fake websites that purported to sell low-risk retail and home goods and misrepresented the true nature of the transactions.
That's correspondent Jeremy House. Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell says a central bank will start dialing back its ultra-low-rate policies this year as long as hiring continues to improve. It signals the beginning of the end of the Fed's extraordinary response to the pandemic-induced recession. Let's get on Wall Street this hour. Stocks sharply higher. More on these stories at townhall.com.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
All aboard!
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio. Ted Lighty here and for Carl and Linda Bott. I'm here. Welcome to our second hour. I'm here with Dan and Nigel on the prevention team from One's Prevention and Education team from One Safe Place. Welcome, gentlemen.
Thank you. Thank you for having us.
How's it going?
Good. Very good. We got a call. Susan?
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
You ready for the market report?
I am ready for the market report.
All right. Well, we just heard major averages are reaching new highs today as the Fed remains dovish in regards to interest rates. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is up 234 points at 35,448. The S&P 500 positive 33 points at 4,503. And the NASDAQ Composite gaining 135 points at 15,081. Active stocks this morning. AMC up 48 cents at $40.79. AMD up $4.28, trading at $111.52. Bank of America positive 38 cents at $42.42 per share. Stocks of local interest, Walmart down 33 cents, trading at $147.02. Costco up $4.09 at 450.40, Target down 17 cents at 248.83. In the bond department, the 10-year Treasury note is priced to yield 1.32%. And over to commodities, gold is up $11.50 an ounce at 1,804. Silver pause up 20 cents at 23.83 per ounce. And crude oil trading at $68 a barrel. That's in the market for now. This is Susan Eastman, First Vice President Investments, Stifel Nicolaus & Company, member SIPC and NYSE for KCNR.
Fantastic. Thank you, Susan.
And thank you. Have a great weekend, everyone.
You bet. Have a good weekend. All right. Market Report's a very important segment of our show. I know that we didn't have a market report for a little while, so I'm very glad Susan and her company is giving us a market report every day. All right. So welcome back to Dan and Nigel. One Safe Place, prevention and education team. So, Dan, first things first. Well, actually, Nigel, you're senior. You've been here longer, man.
No, that's Dan for sure.
Oh really?
Yes, I am the elder statesman here. But
right on.
Yeah.
I don't know who I thought Nigel was.
That's because he's taller.
You guys both have great facial hair, so you know, it's not that the beard is better.
Oh, okay.
Unlike mine, you know. Yeah. I'm still working on it.
Oh, man, it's coming in beautiful.
Thank you for that. All right. So, Dan, what's going on, brother?
Oh, you know, wanted to go over some topics here with you guys. Right now, Nigel and I have been working for the past 3 weeks in our DVSA classes. So what that is a class for volunteers to become certified to become advocates for One Safe Place. And what that is a 66-hour course over the course of 8 weeks. We have a class, and this is the first time ever that we've put together a curriculum in full binders instead of sending them out to people. And so Nigel and I have been just hustling, and our brain capacity is at like 2% because we're just printing paper upon paper. And anyhow, it's been a good class. We've had a really great turnout, so I'm happy about that. Hopefully we can get some more advocates out of this class, and then they can jump on to volunteer with us.
How many classes do you run a year?
So we run a bunch of different classes a year. This one is the biggest one, as it's 8 weeks long, but the other classes that we run are for CalWORKs and for other volunteers that just want to stay qualified as advocates. And so what we do is run a continuing education program as well, where I'll ask some guest speakers from the community to come in and speak about some domestic violence or sexual assault situations.
So, you guys have start. Are you getting? Where are you at in the class? You guys just finishing it up? Are you getting ready to start a new one?
So this is our third week. We'll be starting obviously next week will be our fourth week. that comes after three.
I went to a small rural high school, but even I got that.
Right. Yeah. No, I was just putting it out there. Yeah. So yes. We have 1 month down almost. So yeah, we've just got a little under halfway there.
So you mentioned earlier about remaining qualified to be an advocate. So you have to qualify to be an advocate, and then once they do qualify, first off, how many people are in the class?
Right now we have about 16 to 17 people in the class.
Nice.
Yeah, it was a solid turnout.
Very nice. And so once they become advocates, what kind of volunteerism what kind of jobs or missions or tasks might they take on?
So in becoming an advocate, I'll just mention a few because there's a lot. But like I said, there's the crisis hotline. The crisis hotline is very important, because, why it's important is because it helps our staff, who take calls all week. They usually fill in for the crisis hotline. So it's great that we have volunteers to do that, and we also get matching grant money for volunteer hours that help support our services. So
That's perfect.
It helps with that. We have some court advocacy that needs to be done. That looks like an advocate that goes to court with a victim if they have a sexual assault case or something like that, just so, you know, if the perpetrator's there, they don't feel alone. They don't feel like they're unaccompanied and they have to face their perpetrator alone. So,
very, very smart. Yeah, very smart. Well, that's very interesting. I had no idea. None. So,
yeah.
And so you guys teach in that course? Are you teaching that course?
Yeah. So, we are, since we are a little newer, I had the opportunity to take the course, before, this DVSA. Nigel is taking it as we're going. And so, we have a, host, Christine Hicksenbosch. She teaches out at Shasta College. Mm-hmm. And, so she, facilitates the class. I act more as a co-host, for that. So, mainly what that means is operating, Zoom things.
Yeah. So do you guys do much of it via Zoom?
Yeah, it's all on Zoom. We were going to try to have a hybrid class this year at least where we could have people in our community room as well as hosted over Zoom for those who maybe can't make it or have a pre-existing condition that makes them, you know, at risk for COVID. However, the mandate went back up for masks and everything, so we couldn't have anybody there anymore. So it is all over Zoom now.
Yeah, I got that. And I'm familiar with that teaching platform because, you know, I teach gun classes, CCW, and we've done a lot through Zoom. In fact, I got a class tonight with 14 people in it, just Zoom, you know, CCW. So, yeah, I got that. I think that you would rather obviously do it in person. I can hear it in your voice. I mean, that's the best way to do all teaching as far as I'm concerned, the social interaction. I mean, on Zoom is okay. It's okay. And you know, you'd be surprised at how much you can interact socially on Zoom. Right?
Absolutely, yeah.
But I don't know. I guess maybe I'm just a little, you know, I'm just missing that.
No, I'm with you there.
In class, interaction, what you're talking about on break, you know, that real discussion that you see face-to-face and on this and that. So, all right. That's fantastic. That's fantastic. And when will these folks graduate?
So, this is going to, our class is going till September 30th. At the end of their 66 hours, they'll take a final exam. They take a few quizzes throughout. It's based off of participation, attendance, all that, plus the final exam score, of course. And, then they become certified. We have the certificates. We print them out for them and they're good to go. As long as they attend two DVSA trainings per year, then we're good to go.
Very nice. Now, Nigel, pretty new to this, right?
Yep. One month in.
1 month in. And have you ever worked in this type of industry or this type of organization before?
This is my first time working for a nonprofit. I did go to school for communication, so I thought I might get into something, but this is a totally unique experience that I'm going through.
As you're learning, what kind of insight are you picking up through this course? I mean, what is like hitting you right on the head? Like, dang, I never knew that. You know, I never thought about that before.
Yeah, there's a couple numbers that jumped out to me when I first started taking this DVSA training. Itself was, you know, 1 in 3 women that are, you know, victims of this type of atrocities, and then 1 in 7 men actually are victims of domestic violence or sexual assault. So I thought that was, you know, you see in the movies, it's always, you know, men got to act this type of way and have this type of masculinity that they can handle it. But to see that they're, you know, it's a lot closer than you think, you know.
And it's kind of a silent thing. I mean, you know, I think it goes on. We all know that. And I mean, it's almost a cliche how silent it is. Not funny, but funny. When I was about 20, I was in the Army at Fort Bragg, North Carolina. And, of course, you know, all, you know, 20-year-olds, I think I made about $400 a month, right? But I did have a little Toyota pickup truck, like about a 73, and this was an 85, right? Broke down, needed a muffler, all that kind of stuff. But I was one of the only ones in the unit that had one that was at that age. One of my buddies was, we had to stay late one night, because you know in the Army you're always staying late.
Right.
And so he asked me if I could haul him home because his wife couldn't come and get him because we were late. So I hauled him home. And of course, you know, we all lived in you know, mobile home parks and things like that. And so I pulled up to this little single wide and some lady, and I stayed in my truck and he got out. You know, he's carrying his pack with him and all that. And he goes walking up the steps and some lady come out and socked him right in the eye and knocked
wow.
him down. Yeah. Nigel, to your point, I didn't understand that that was the deal, but she socked him in the eye and he came to work the next day with a black eye. And that was my first really domestic violence moment in my life.
Wow.
I was like, oh, dang, that's how it works. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And she hit him like Mike Tyson.
Oh.
Just like Mike Tyson. Hey guys, listen, we're going to take a quick break and then we're going to come right back. Okay.
Sounds good.
All right. Free Fire Radio.
Come join Recall Shasta for a great night, fundraising dinner, speakers, live auction, and raffle, August 28th at the Anderson VFW, 3210 West Center Street. For ticket information, call 530-691-1707. This is an opportunity for us to come together as a community and make our voices heard. Come join Recall Shasta for our third fundraising dinner, paid for by the Shasta General Purpose Committee /Shasta Recall.
E-cigs don't burn tobacco leaves, and they come in lots of flavors. That's what tobacco companies tell you. Here are three things tobacco companies don't say. 1. Many teens don't know their flavored e-cigs have nicotine. 2. Nicotine is a poison that can rewire the teen brain. 3. 80% of kids who tried vaping did it because of the flavors. So even when it tastes like candy, nicotine is brain poison. Go to flavorshookkids.org for more.
Professionals from all over the world have been working remotely, and the hardest part is finding a great place to focus and get the job done. Drop-in Go Working at 155 Lake Boulevard East offers modern and clean workspaces, call booths, conference rooms, and secure fast Wi-Fi. Drop-in's pricing is pay-as-you-go, with bundles of hours as low as $3 an hour. No contracts, no obligation. Drop-in Go Working, 155 Lake Boulevard East, next door to Starbucks and Subway across from Waterworks Park. Drop-in for an hour or more and try it out. Drop-in.mobi. That's drop-in.mobi.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Common Senior Living. One of the most rewarding things about what I do is watching the positive transformation that often occurs when a senior moves here to our beautiful, independent retirement community. Seniors can become isolated, find it hard to eat good, healthy meals, and even just get around. I call this a failure to thrive. At River Commons, we solve those challenges. You are surrounded by friendly people with similar life experiences. Chef Shalisa and her crew provide 3 delicious and healthy meals daily. Activities Director Ernie always has a wide variety of things to do, from arts and crafts to outings on our 25-passenger bus. Plus, we provide utilities, cable TV, scheduled transportation, weekly housekeeping, and more. We see seniors go from survive to thrive, and that is just a wonderful thing. Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and experience River Commons for yourself. 221-2121 or on the web river-commons.com.
A jewel of the North State, a place we love to go and love being members.
The view, the best in the North State, from the restaurants, meeting rooms, and of course on the award-winning 18-hole golf course, Riverview Golf and Country Club. It's the place to belong.
Go in and meet the friendly staff today or go to their website at riverviewgolf.net and find out about their introductory memberships.
Riverview Golf and Country Club, corporate, social, tennis, fitness, and golf. Get it all. Become a member.
It's affordable and fun. Riverview Golf and Country Club.
Every diamond has a story to tell. Once a year, Goldmark Jewelers displays a collection of diamond rings, earrings, pendants, and bracelets with their own favorite stories. For 30 years, the Goldmark Jewelers annual estate sale has brought you the best collection of vintage and antique jewelry in Northern California. Each of these pieces have rich history and incredible stories. Diamonds and gemstones hand-cut by master craftsmen were set in masterpieces cherished for hundreds of years. Now it's your turn to write the next chapter in your diamond story. The Goldmark Annual Estate Sale coming September 1st. Goldmark Jewelers, Hilltop Drive, where Redding buys diamonds.
Like a fool, I went and stayed too long.
You know, Jared, I don't know why, but the bump music. I just love your bump music, man. Fantastic. Fantastic bump music. This portion of Free Fire Radio is brought to you by Four Winds Jewelry, 2225 Hilltop Drive, Redding, California, 96001. Give Four Winds Jewelry a call, 222-2750. The only full-service jewelry store in Redding. I'm here with Nigel and Dan from One Safe Place. They are on the prevention and education team. We're talking about the classes, or the class that they are currently in the middle of teaching or facilitating for their community advocates.
Yes.
And there are 16 or 17 of them in class right now. They will graduate. They will be qualified. They have to take a final exam and quizzes throughout. So this is a pretty formalized, it sounds like, education process. And most of it's Zoom, of course, because that's our world right now, Zoom. And then once they graduate, then they will be moving into our community and doing great things as community leaders. And I'm just really stoked about that. Now, we talked a little bit about fundraising on the break and how important it is to One Safe Place. And, one of the things that I wanted to call out is many times some of our fundraising activities in the community are One Safe Place fundraising activities. That are so important, and I think I called out, oh, Back to Blue does some One Safe Place fundraising, and the local Harley Owners Group does some One Safe Place fundraising,
yeah.
I believe. And it's just fantastic that you also have those organizations that are those nonprofits that are working also to help fund One Safe Place. And so,
absolutely,
many times when we donate or we attend one of these fundraisers, we don't read the fine print, right?
We don't
read the fine print. But I would like to throw a shout out to each one of those organizations that raises money for you, and this very important organization, because you're feeling the crunch now, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. You guys haven't been able to fundraise for probably quite a little while.
Right. With COVID, it's made things so difficult. It's shutting down a lot of the events that we would have fundraising for. However, I would like to say that we definitely appreciate all of the, fund backing that we get from our partners and from people that, help host these events for us. Because, you know, without them, we wouldn't have prevention education. We wouldn't have all of these, resources for, or victims. You know, we wouldn't be One Safe Place.
Right. Yeah, definitely, definitely so important. Now, we were talking about earlier about how it's almost a cliche that it's a silent crime or, you know, silent issue in our community, domestic violence. And there has been a lot of talk since the pandemic, you know, clear back in March or February of last year, about how those cases have risen.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not sure everybody understands exactly what the anatomy of that is or what causes that rise in domestic violence cases because of the pandemic. Can one of you guys kind of give us an idea or a rundown on how that works?
Well, my personal opinion on it why it's risen is because of how stressful the situation is with COVID. A lot of people have to quarantine and they're not used to being around their spouse 24/7. And, although, you know, we do know that, domestic violence is a learned behavior. You also have, the factors of having to, you know, like I said, isolate together. Always, you know, just on top of each other, whether you're working from home, whether you're not working, there's all these outside stress factors that can just help build to this. Not that it's an excuse, but it's a fact. You know, once you, are around someone for so long, you know, maybe some of those things start to come out, and maybe that's why the numbers have risen. And that's just my opinion.
And I would think that would be true. That's a fine, you know, I think
right.
That's a fine opinion. Nigel, you're in class right now
mm-hmm.
to become a qualified advocate. Is there anything that you guys are learning about in that class that might add something to that opinion?
You know, it's pretty obvious why, you know, there might be more higher cases of it, obviously, because of isolation. But I think also because of the restrictions on being able to freely go, you know, people's safety plans, which we talk about in the class right now, you're limiting their resources to go out and maybe in a dire situation, just be able to go and do something, like get out of the house, you know. I mean, obviously, if you're in an emergency situation, you always have one safe place, crisis hotline, and then the police. But simple things and, you know, going to a hotel maybe might not be as easy if you're not associated with us. And, you know, even friends and family being able to go out there, that's harder too because of the hesitation with, you know, the concern of spreading COVID. So, yeah, I think safety planning is definitely something that needs to be addressed, you know, in that situation.
Yeah. Absolutely, and just to add to Nigel's point, I think that's a really good point, is that, you know, because people are isolating and, you know, right now for COVID, it causes them to, you know, not have the resources available, like he said, or be able to get out mostly, you know what I mean, or feel like they can go to a family's place to stay because they're all quarantining for COVID and stuff. So it's... they don't have as much of an opportunity to report as they usually would, say, if they were to go out and to be able to work in the workplace. But we have developed a personalized safety plan here so that those who are in the midst of domestic violence, we have something there to provide them as a resource to get out. Yes.
So this personal safety plan, that's something you probably teach, right?
Yes.
In the community.
Mm-hmm.
Can you go over the elements of it with me?
Yeah, I got a little bit of it right here. So just what we do is we make sure that the plan represents the increasing safety and preparing in advance for the possibility of further violence. So what that could look like is, you know, safety during a violent incident, safety when preparing to leave, gathering important items like identification cards, children's birth certificates, social security cards, et cetera, credit cards, things of that nature. But we have, all of that we take into consideration. You know, and then we go over, you know, what is most important for you to take? What can you leave behind? You know, do you have a place where you can stay, or do we need to reach out for someone? Do you have a ride so you can get away, or, you know, do we need to prepare that for you? And the great thing about One Safe Place is that we have every resource that you need there. We handle restraining orders. We handle, intakes, triage, advocacy, all of that. We have places for children that, they can be in a play area while the victim speaks through the window speaks and sees their children through the window playing. So as to not re-traumatize the child. So, but all of these are pretty much like a get out now plan, safety plan. And, we hand these out, and it's readily available on our website as well. So anyone who wants to check that out, if you're in the situation or, you know, you want to find out more information for a friend, please feel free to visit our website and look at our personalized safety plan.
Right on. And what's the web address?
The web address. Ooh.
Well, you can just do the old-fashioned thing. Just look at me and say, Ted, Google it. Right? Just Google it, Ted.
Come on. Google One Safe Place.
You're 56. Figure it out. Right?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's Ted, if you could Google that.
It's osbshasta.org.
Thank you, Jared. Mm-hmm.
Jared is on it.
Man of many, many, many talents back there. Yeah. Many
talents.
I
just wanted Jared to be involved, you know.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. The safety plan, I teach safety plans also, but different type. Mm-hmm. Personal protection safety plans, obviously. But along the same exact reasoning, is, you know, you got to have a step-by-step process to make this thing happen. We call it illuminating the path. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, it's not going to happen.
Absolutely.
Right? It seems too overwhelming. The whole system seems overwhelming. But if you say to somebody, look, you're in an abusive situation, and here's the steps, here's the path, right? Even down to providing housing, right, if they need it. I mean, that's what that's one of the things that everybody would say One Safe Place does. Or they say, oh, it's a place to go for people who are being abused. It would say women who are being abused, you know, 10 years ago, but now it's both, I understand.
Sure.
On that note, I don't know if you can, if you know it, but someone in the chat room asked, how many men have, that do you guys help or have you helped over the past, you know, 5 years or 10 years or since you changed the name to One Safe Place. But before we do that, we're going to have to go on a break. We got a heartbreak coming up. And then when we come back, let's chat about that a little bit more, okay?
Perfect.
All right. Free Fire Radio. We'll be right back.
Every diamond has a story to tell. Once a year, Goldmark Jewelers displays a collection of diamond rings, earrings, pendants, and bracelets with their own favorite stories. For 30 years, the Goldmark Jewelers annual estate sale has brought you the best collection of vintage and antique jewelry in Northern California. Each of these pieces have rich history and incredible stories. Diamonds and gemstones hand-cut by master craftsmen were set in masterpieces cherished for hundreds of years. Now it's your turn to write the next chapter in your diamond story. The Goldmark annual estate sale coming September 1st. Goldmark Jewelers, Hilltop Drive, where Redding buys diamonds.
Jazz up your weekend breakfast or brunch at Black Bear Diner with a sparkling mimosa made with our fresh squeezed orange juice and Prosecco. It's a delicious and refreshing sidekick to your favorite omelet, Benedict, or pancake breakfast. At lunch or dinner, add a glass of red or white Kendall Jackson family wine, or choose a domestic, import, or specialty beer to ride along with your favorite entree. Serve daily at Black Bear Diner, 2605 Hilltop Drive.
Black Bear Diver.
Slow down. Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Redding has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage, and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. Although Coachmaster is recognized as the authority and specialist in frame and suspension, we are primarily your auto body and truck collision repair center. This includes all vehicles, Lexus, Honda, or pickup trucks. Our technicians are highly trained and have the most advanced equipment to ensure a complete and quality repair. With our knowledge and the insurance claim process, all we need is your claim number to handle your claim. Coachmaster has a great working relationship with all insurance companies. This ensures a complete repair with quality parts and a delay-free process. At Coachmaster, in our 50 years in business, we've experienced almost every situation imaginable in a claim. This experience and personal dedication to the repair of your vehicle sets Coachmaster apart from all other choices. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
Come join Recall Shasta for a great night, fundraising dinner, speakers, live auction, and raffle, August 28th at the Anderson VFW, 3210 West Center Street. For ticket information, call 530-691-1707. This is an opportunity for us to come together as a community and make our voices heard. Come join Recall Shasta for our third fundraising dinner, paid for by the Shasta General Purpose Committee/Shasta Recall.
change had much to say. But man, I still think them cats are crazy.
All right, welcome back to Free Fire Radio. That's my favorite bump music. That one and Life in the Fast Lane, Jared, you know, those are my two favorite. Just fantastic. And I know I let the bump music run a little bit, but that's because I dig it. That's because I dig it. Hey, this portion of the show is brought to you by Maxwell Insurance and Financial. All your insurance and financial needs under one roof. Helping veterans, families, seniors, and business owners since 1993. Located at 1378 Hilltop Drive, next to Members First Credit Union. Call Judy, 221-0441. I'm sitting here with the prevention team, education and prevention team from One Safe Place, Nigel and Dan, and we've been talking a little bit about societal perception, right, mm-hmm. on the break. And, you know, these two guys have really changed my perception a little bit. Not that I didn't always love One Safe Place, and I told them, you know, I'm always a donator to One Safe Place. But every time I've hosted and One Safe Place has been here, it's been, you know, someone that I'm familiar with, come in, woman, 40 years old, sharp, professional, right, and talk about domestic violence. And so I walk out of the studio, and I look around the office, and I said to Jared, "Hey, One Safe Place, 8 o'clock, right?" And he said, "Oh yeah, they're sitting over there in the corner." I look over there, and I got one dude who's like 6'6", maybe. Are you 6'6"?
I'm like 6'4".
Yeah. All built up and yoked out, man. Good looking dude. And I got next to him another really like trim, good looking young guy. I'm like, "You guys are from One Safe Place?" They're like, "Yeah, yeah." And so the bottom line is, the perception of One Safe Place is undergoing a little bit of an evolution, along with your perception of what a domestic violence victim looks like, right?
Absolutely.
We were talking about men who are victims of domestic violence, and I told my story about when I was a kid. Your communication to me during the break was, it was still rare for a man to come forward.
Yeah. As we were talking during the break, as I discussed, we had a prevention partners seminar, and in it we were speaking about underserved communities and different demographics that are served a little less. And one of the demographics that were mentioned were males, obviously, and she explained it as basically she had trouble with having these males talk to her about anything. They are the most underreported for domestic violence. We have numbers of 1 in 7 men report domestic violence or have been a victim of domestic violence, not report, excuse mm-hmm. me. And that is just what's reported, like the numbers there. You know, I'm sure that it's at a far greater volume. However, as you said, we are transitioning a little bit in prevention. So with the addition of Nigel and I, you know, and getting back into the schools, whether it be the primary schools, middle schools, or high schools, you know, we are trying to portray a positive role or male presence. So that's been a really big thing with us because even since we've been in our position briefly, you know, we've experienced it too. We've experienced the sexual harassment towards us. We've experienced other people being sexually harassed, and you know, because they're male, they just think, you know, what do I do? What can I do?
Well, I think that there's a lot of overriding layers of the reason why I think they don't report. One of the things I think that is a real issue is they think they're not going to be taken seriously, or they think they're going to be considered, and this is huge in our society, less of a man, right? If they report, but the eventual outcome of domestic violence could end in somebody's life.
Absolutely.
Taken. I mean, you need to think about that. And you might be saying, "Ted, are you being dramatic on me?" No, I'm not being dramatic, because let me tell you, I mean, I'm 56. You guys have been around a little bit too. People can get crazy. People, you know, with mental health issues can hurt others.
Right. And another thing, but another thing is, they don't consider the fatality rate of, you know, a male that is not reporting domestic violence, and then they get so depressed that they take their own lives.
Right.
Or, you know, I mean, they feel like they have no one else to tell, no other resource, that they feel like they've ran out of options, and that's unacceptable.
Right. And so now, today, there's an evolution of perception going on. And so, and I'm just guessing, you know, that at One Safe Place, if a male was to call in, he would be treated just like anybody.
Absolutely.
Right? Just like anybody. Look, you got a problem, let's take a look at it. Yeah. And that's so important.
Yeah, because, you know, we like to let them know that we, first of all, we believe them and that it wasn't their fault. You know, two things that we need to say, because it's true. I think that a lot of times when we don't approach the situation like that, you know, it's very easy for a person in trauma to start reliving that trauma or get very stressed out and not want to continue with the process. So
they're in a cycle.
Yep.
It's a cycle.
Yep.
Right. Now, much like poverty, domestic violence is generational. Right? Because the children see it, and that's what they think is normal.
Yes. Okay? It's a learned behavior.
Right. It's a learned behavior. And so you guys have the teams that are moving into the schools to kind of reach in and touch young people. And what is your message to them? What's the messaging there? And I know it's probably different if you do an elementary school and a high school, right?
Right.
It's got to be different. But let's just talk about an elementary school. You guys move into an elementary school. It's a public type seminar or moment that you get to talk to them. What is your messaging to them?
Well, our messaging to them is that, you know, we want to be prevention, right? We are in prevention. So, we want to show them what, say, you said, primary school kids. Okay. So we have a SafeNet curriculum. We also have an anti-bullying curriculum, which is built into that. And it's crazy because in reading the stats, I mean, there's 160,000 kids a year that miss school due to being made fun of or being bullied. And so when we get in there, a lot of times, since it's a learned behavior, they see their parents bullying or they see, you know, this hostile aggression in their home. And so they use it as at school because that's all they know. So our hopes, mine and Nigel, is when we get into those schools and teach our anti-bullying curriculum, that they can know another thing besides just what they're learning at home. They can see from the perspective of, as you said, two young men that, you know, that are telling them that it's okay. So,
and to give them different ideas.
Absolutely.
Give them different ideas. And so, you know, bullying is a big issue.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you guys know, you remember it better than I do because it's starting to fade for me. But you know what? Being a 6th, 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th grader, that's tough business.
Yeah.
Right? That's tough business. A boy or girl, that's tough. The hormones are going. The social pressure is coming. Social media is telling you how you have to act. The TV is telling you how you have to look, right? We've got bullies on TV that we're holding up.
Yep.
Right, they're bullies. You can tell they're bullies, and so the it's so confusing.
Right.
You know? The thing about it is, it's so confusing. Plus, trying to fit in and be somebody in society, and you know, being accepted by your peer group is everything. And people will mostly do anything they can do to be accepted by their peer group. I mean,
absolutely.
We know that. And if it's bullying, so that they can be held up as a bully, well, guess what? That's what they're going to do.
Yeah, I think that if, especially at a young age, you know, it's hard to, you haven't established, like, your core values or,
right,
like, what your voice is. So being in the position we are, we can demonstrate some leadership and assertive communication skills, you know, that are healthy, that if you feel a certain type of way, you can, you know, communicate how you feel. And we just want to identify, like, what the dynamics of bullying is, you know, so that if you're a young child, you can see, like, the behaviors and the mannerisms of that and be able to recognize it and then handle it accordingly. Because if you don't know what everyone's going through behind closed doors, and to just assume something, you know, two wrongs don't make a right. So if you can be able to identify it and then respond accordingly, I think that's a step towards ending bullying is, you know, obviously the goal, but a step towards that is definitely learning how to communicate with each other and understand each other from a base level, you know.
So, yeah, a human level.
Absolutely. Yeah, you know, just human like beings. We're, you know, and especially during a pandemic, we're all going through things.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and since it is a learned behavior, we can also learn the behavior to, you know, like each other and accept their differences.
Absolutely.
You know, so. Absolutely. Right on, guys. Hey, listen, we're going to come back, and I want to talk when we come back about the power of counseling.
Okay.
Okay, because I'm a big fan of the power of counseling.
Absolutely.
Free Fire Radio, we will be right back.
Come join Recall Shasta for a great night, fundraising dinner, speakers, live auction, and raffle, August 28th at the Anderson VFW, 3210 West Center Street. For ticket information, call 530-691-1707. This is an opportunity for us to come together as a community and make our voices heard. Come join Recall Shasta for our third fundraising dinner, paid for by the Shasta General Purpose Committee /Shasta Recall.
Remodeled kitchen, bathroom, or backyard patio? There's a lot of choices, but only one leader, Estate Granite.
Mike Huber has such a professional attitude and a can-do work ethic that makes him a joy to work with. Mike and his crew worked to have our new kitchen finished in 5 days. We came back to a true work of art.
Hi, this is Brian Salato, broker and co-owner of the Real Estate Group. In today's competitive market, I think what's important is that the house is dialed in and turnkey. And what's important is that the kitchen has been renovated, the bathrooms have been renovated, granite, beautiful cabinetry. Those things make a significant difference.
Mike at Estate Granite has an eye for detail, an attention to perfection, and a quality build crew that are masters of their craft. Mike was there from start to finish.
Hi, this is Mike from Estate Granite. I know how important quality to a homeowner is, so give me a call at 241-STONE or come by our showroom at 4900 Mountain Lakes Boulevard or visit us at EstateGranite.com.
Slow down.
Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage, and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
You want to make a real difference for patients. You want to provide quality, compassionate care. Your work environment should feel like family. You appreciate flexibility.
One of the things I love about working at Shasta Regional is I feel valued as a staff member. They're like family.
If you're ready to work in an environment that supports you, come see the difference at Shasta Regional Medical Center. Join SRMC for an open house and job fair Tuesday, August 31st, 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. $15,000 sign-on bonuses are offered for all RNs hired. Meet their directors, talk to current staff, see and feel the difference in an environment that supports you so you can care for our community at the SRMC Job Fair Tuesday, August 31st, 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. For more information, visit www.ShastaRegional.com or message them on Facebook. Come experience Shasta Regional Medical Center, where passionate people provide quality care. Shasta Regional Medical Center, Job Fair, Tuesday, August 31st, 9 a.m. to 2 p.m.
Every diamond has a story to tell. Once a year, Goldmark Jewelers displays a collection of diamond rings, earrings, pendants, and bracelets with their own favorite stories. For 30 years, the Goldmark Jewelers annual estate sale has brought you the best collection of vintage and antique jewelry in Northern California. Each of these pieces have rich history and incredible stories. Diamonds and gemstones hand-cut by master craftsmen were set in masterpieces cherished for hundreds of years. Now it's your turn to write the next chapter in your diamond story. The Goldmark annual estate sale coming September 1st. Goldmark Jewelers, Hilton Drive, where Redding buys diamonds.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio. Thank you, Jared, for that bump music. You know I love me some Eagles. Eagles, one of the best rock bands in the history of our country. Song sung, of course, by Don Henley and written by Don Henley and Glenn Frey. So fantastic, fantastic band. This portion of the show is brought to you by Northern Firearms Instruction. Northern Firearms Instruction provides firearms instructions in CCW, CCW renewals, non-resident CCWs, basic rifle and pistol training. You can give me a call, 530-999-1822. I got a 8-hour and a 12-hour CCW class this weekend. Starts tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock. I'd love to put you in it. I got a few seats left. So Northern Firearms Instruction. Call me 530-999-1822 or visit us online at www.usgunpro.com. I'm here with Nigel and Dan from One Safe Place, the part of the education and outreach team. And we were talking about the messaging in the schools, which I feel is so important because you have to start providing communication at the leadership level early so that they know, in the Army we called it what right looks like, right? If you show them what right looks like, sooner than later, they might pick it up, right? And so you guys go into that school a little arresting because you're not what they expect, right? And I'm sure that both of you communicate well and not demand, but have respect from young people.
Right.
They look at you and you look like someone that they could respect, and closer to their age and demographic and what the world tells them that somebody cool would look like. Right?
Thank you.
Yeah. As sloppy as that might have been, you got it, right?
We'd like to think so.
Yeah. And that's a change. That's a change in the organization. That's fantastic. And when we talk about messaging, Nigel was talking about, messaging to these, you know, what could be a young man or woman who is having some violence issues at home, and then they will end up bringing that to school. And if they know what right looks like, if they know how to communicate at a base level, treat people like human beings and realize we have more in common than they think, then maybe, you know, maybe we can change that behavior. One of the things that I want to talk about right now, and maybe you can shed some light on the programs at One Safe Place, is counseling.
Right.
And I've always been open with the counseling that I went through when I got out of the Army. You know, me and my wife, have a fantastic relationship, but counseling is a part of that.
Yeah.
Right? No relationship is always fantastic. If someone tells you they always have a fantastic relationship, you gotta be like, yeah, right, okay. But counseling is a big part of that. And of course, my counselor is Doug Craig. Good morning, Doug. Great community leader. And
also my counselor, Doug Craig, shout out.
Shout out to Doug Craig, man. I love him.
He's great.
Fantastic.
He's a great guy.
He has said more things to me that have shocked me, right? And just stopped me and thought, I never thought about that. But he's been my counselor since day one. And I think my life has just really gained a lot of traction because of him.
Yeah.
But
I was like, I need to go see.
Oh, he's fantastic, man. He's fantastic. And any of my buddies that are having, you know, a little bit of issue at home, whatever, I tell him, hey, man, go see Doug Craig.
Go see Doug.
Do not discount the power of counseling.
Right? It's so important.
It's incredible. So what kind of counseling programs do you guys have over there at One Safe Place? I mean, how does that work? Do they automatically get in counseling, or do you guys just prescribe it as they go, or how does that work?
Yeah, so So we are still new. So we're figuring out what it looks like. However, we do have plenty of advocates on site that as soon as you walk into the door, say someone's in crisis, right? And we'll just make the scenario that it is a wife and her child coming in for a domestic violence assault. So what would happen is, you know, they're greeted, they are met by an advocate who will take them to a room and triage them for whatever may have taken place. Like I said, we have folks that will sit in a room that is easily visible by the parents so that they can watch their kids mm-hmm. as they're being triaged, right, so they don't have to relive that trauma. And so we do have rooms there, meeting rooms there that are surrounding this child area that it's like, you know, they go in there, they talk about what's going on, you know, they discuss resources of what they can do, because it used to be that you had to go to like 24 different locations to get everything you needed. Now you can do it all at one safe place. So,
and do you guys have counselors, do you guys employ counselors, or do they counselors come in and work on a contract basis, or?
For that, I would need to get you an updated answer.
I'm starting to dig, aren't I?
Yeah, no, that's okay. But if I don't know the answer, I'll let you know that I'll get back to you for it.
Yeah, well, that's very cool.
Yeah.
I'm sure that there's counselors in there all the time.
Yeah.
How they work and all that. It really doesn't matter. It's just, I was just interested, curious.
And definitely our advocates for sure. But just to let you know also, we do have an event coming up tomorrow, just so I could throw it in there.
I love it.
Yeah, it is put on by Pathways to Hope, and it's called Make a Choice, Make a Difference. And we'll be setting up a booth. Nigel and I will be there. It's from 9 a.m. to 12 noon. And basically, we'll have a booth there. We'll have an activity, which I think we're bringing cornhole.
All right.
Always a fun activity. Mm-hmm. We'll have a raffle contribution. So, we'll have, we'll draw your name out of a hat or however they do it there. And, we'll have some stuff for you. And then, kind of just let everybody know a little bit about what we do. We're going to be, we're going to be looking for volunteers as well. That is the main point of this booth, is looking for volunteers, educating people on what we do, and seeing their comfort level and how they would fit with us as a volunteer.
Right on.
Right now we need someone in the garden even, you know what I mean?
I got it. Yep.
So, yeah.
Yep. Right on. Well, listen, guys, great visit today. Thank you for coming in. I hope I get to host when you guys come in next time.
Oh, yeah.
I hope so, too. It was great meeting you, and I appreciate what you do.
All right.
Thank
you. That
does it for Free Fire Radio today. Big shout-out to all our community leaders. Jared, great job. Thank you very much, sir. Pat, I will see you guys on Monday, where my co-host will be Robert Balky. We'll be talking crime in the community.